Well, good evening. I'd like to call to order the Orange County Parks Commission's meeting for November 7th, 2024. And at this point in time, I'd like to have everybody stand so that we can do the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Diaz, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do you want to save on the roll call, or do you want to go to roll call?
I think we go ahead and do a roll call.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Chair Schauber. Commissioner Diaz.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner Warren. Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Gabbard.
Here.
We have four.
Okay. Well, at this time, we'd like to bring up members of the public that may address the commission on items of public interest that are within the jurisdiction of the commission and are not contained in tonight's agenda. Do we have any speaker requests?
We have one request from Mike Wellborn.
Okay. We know Mr. Wellborn. If you wish to make a public comment, please fill out the form, which we already did. We'll have, I believe, 3 minutes. Are we running, we're in charge of the timer tonight. So, Mr. Wellborn, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Wellborn, president of Friends of Harbor's Beaches and Parks, and alumni. just wanted to put a little positive note on tonight. Friends of Harbor's Beaches and Parks has completed, well, initiated, I would say, the Park Legacy Project, which is an online site at FHBP for every regional park in Orange County, detailing all the individual parcels that were unified for each park, including that with that data are all the restrictions, hook, line, sinker, whatever was attached for those parcels, and there's a lot. And it was a long summer process by our former contractor, Melanie Schlatterbeck, and a couple of others to get that data online. And it's available now at the FHBP website, fhbp.org. And we're very excited about it. There's more to do. We've found some gaps. We need to fill the gaps. There's even a few errors here and there. A parcel that looked very large was listed as like 1.5 acres. So obviously there's some things we need to complete, but the quantity of data is massive, and it really allows you to sort of get an idea of what each park came, how it came about, and what it's about. And so we're very excited about it and invite the public to check it out, surf that internet. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. We realize we don't have any other speaker forms, but is there anybody else that wanted to speak on any other topics that are not on the agenda tonight? All right. Well, with that, then I guess we'll close the open speaker moments. I believe we have, hi, welcome. Well, we have a presentation tonight.
We do.
Is that correct? Can you take over that for
yes.
us? Okay, thank you.
Yes, I can. So, tonight we have the honor of a presentation for former Parks Commissioner Bert Ashland. So I'm going to first say a few words about you, if that's okay.
Do you want me to sit here? Or?
You can stand up at the podium or wherever. Mr. Ashland has been a government and public affairs consultant for over 30 years, so like just yesterday. He is a specialist in public affairs and corporate communications, strategic planning, and conflict and dispute resolution. And I think that last part is why he was so good on our Parks Commission. This professional background provided valuable experience, which all of us have enjoyed, and we will miss. First appointed in 2004, Mr. Ashland has served on the OC Parks Commission for about 2 decades. While on the commission, he also served as the chair and vice chair several times. Also served as the commissioner during the acquisition of the really large park acreage of over 20,000 acres from the Irvine Company, which is the largest transfer of private to public land in the county's history. So that's pretty awesome. Vice Chair Ashland also submitted his resignation on September 26, as we shared at our last meeting, which made all of us sad, just so you know. But we did also, at your request, we did pass on all of the thank yous and best wishes to the rest of the commission. So at this point, we would like to present Mr. Bert Ashland with a certificate of recognition and gratitude for his service and contributions to the OC Parks Commission, as well as, and this is honestly what he's more excited about, present you with your official jacket that we took us months to order. Thank you. And I thought maybe you might like to say a few words, because this is someone who always has only a couple words, but maybe tonight you can make an exception.
I didn't know you, Dr. Thomas. Your class is important.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Where is it? Dave, glad you could make this evening.
Okay, now, before you start, I got to tell you my story. So this is the first time I've ever had a driver to get here, right? So naturally, I take our newly elected councilman, John Warren, who just won by a landslide in Stanton, to drive me here. So I'm giving him directions because I've been here 4,000 times, right? And all of a sudden, his Tesla control car says, turn right. I go, John, what are you doing? You can't go straight. So here we are late. We would have been on time. So it's Tesla's fault and John. Go ahead, Bert.
Okay, however, John, did you make it to his watch party on Tuesday?
Yes.
You did? Yeah. I heard everybody in Orange County was there. Thank you. It's been frustrating sometimes here, and you'll find it frustrating as well. Pam did a wonderful job. It isn't always the easiest job in Canada. Yeah, you exceeded my expectations, and you know that. Now, thank you. This is good. Really cool. Is that James Irvine salad?
It is. You can't take that.
Need one more here.
Thank you, Dave.
Are you all done?
Good. I'm done.
Okay, well, stand back there, because I'm not. You know what's really nice about Bert is the fact that there's nothing about OC Parks that he doesn't know. And one of the advantages of me serving with him for many years is that it was always a learning experience. He was at every opening, he was at every event. He participated in everything the board did over the years. You know, a lot of board members, you know, sometimes they don't go to events. But every time I was there, Bert was there. Because he cared about his job, he took it seriously, and the things that he accomplished during his reign here as chairman were things that will always be a positive influence on this organization and the parks itself and the events that we have. I hate to lose you, because losing institutional knowledge is probably one of the most sacred things that we can do. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, term limits are good, somebody's been around too long. You know, to me, term limits are the ballot box. But in this particular case, I think it's important to understand that people that have that knowledge need to share it with younger people, younger people, younger people, younger people.
You can do the whole thing.
I mean, no, I'm not going to do you and me. it's good to have someone like that. And I think you'll be missed not only by me, but the rest of us, but I think the park system itself is going to miss you, Bert. But we know that you're not too far away and that you're going to be keeping an eye on us.
I can't hear you very much.
And I think that you will always be in touch with us and communicate with us and tell us what we're doing wrong. And that's what I expect from you, okay?
I'll call you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being colleagues and support.
Thank you.
I'm out of here.
He's got the jacket. He's out of here.
Okay, we're at item number 5. This is our consent items. We're going to go ahead and move it. We have the minutes from October the 3rd. And let me check here. We also have nothing else. Is there a motion to move?
I'll move.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody abstain? Okay, thank you. Any nays? No. All right. All right, we're moving to discussion item A. This is going to be the Talbot Regional Park Master Plan presentation.
And I believe, oh, that's the next one, just kidding. So, as you can tell, I'm not really good at my job, only Bert thought I was. So tonight we have Sheila Cedarball, who's going to give us this presentation on Talbot Regional Park Master Plan.
Thanks, Pam. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. This is a project we've been working on for a while, and when it's completed, it will provide the 10-year vision for the future of the park. And it's important because the process gives us a chance to tap into public opinion and find out what they think about the park. And we do an inventory of the existing conditions, and we also propose improvements that will take place over time. Of the 10 years of the master plan is in effect. So for probably most of you are very familiar with Talbert, but it consists of 182 acres that were acquired in 1973 as a nature preserve. And the park includes both north and south Talbert. Victoria Street runs right through the middle, so it's on both sides of Victoria. And it's bounded by the cities of Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, and Huntington Beach. And it's also a part of a bigger open space, which includes the Randall Preserve to the south, Fairview Park to the north, and it's directly adjacent to the Sandana River Trail. So the big question is, what drives the master plan? So there are two major things that drive the plan. The first is environmental regulations. We have conservation easements that require the park to be a passive area. Those are NCCP, HCP. Easements, and then also South Talbert is in the coastal zone, so it's under the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission. The second factor is stakeholder preferences. So we've been putting a lot of effort into outreach. We had a meeting in January and another meeting last week in October. So the first meeting, we saw a lot of input on a general basis. We asked a lot of open-ended questions. And then for the second meeting, we honed in on a couple of issues where we asked for more input. So the public response overwhelmingly indicated that they want preservation of the park, they don't want a lot of changes, and they really want a lot of habitat restoration. So North and South Talbert are very different. This is a picture of a big open grassy picnic area in North Talbert. There's a restroom there, a watering station with a horse corral. The trails are well maintained, but the trails, however, are not named and there are no trail markers presently. There's no on-site parking, so most people get access from Fairview Park. They come from up above and take the stairs. So that's one of the challenges. And these are pictures of some more of the existing conditions. Dogs are allowed in the park. That's the restroom up in the upper left. And then South Talbert includes Victoria Pond, which is a really popular scenic area. It has a lot of trails and a lot of drainage problems on the trails. And during rainy season, a lot of times access is blocked and the trails are closed. Pedestrian access is pretty difficult. Again, there's no on-site parking. And we have ongoing habitat restoration going on, which involves removal of invasive species and planting of native species, which has been in progress for a while. So these are some more shots of South Calvert. The upper left is one of the access ways from Balboa Boulevard. This is Victoria Pond, and then this is the trail.
Is the BMX park still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Sheep Hills. Mm-hmm. Sheep Hills, mm-hmm. Right. That's the first time I heard the term Commonwealth used. That the area is a Commonwealth. I didn't know what a Commonwealth was, but it's all of us together working for the benefit of everybody to make the whole area great. And I go, well, I've driven on Commonwealth in Fullerton for years. It's okay. Great. And I was really surprised by how it was like it's happening, but it's kind of like not really happening. It's not sworn in by parks, right? Is it sworn in? Is it official that it's okay for people to show up there and ride and Sheep Hills?
And well, it is because it existed before the county took over the park and before it was enrolled in the conservation easements. It is allowed to stay there.
It's allowed to stay there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If this was something that was we tried to add now, we would not be allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Practically grandfathered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
So it can't expand from the footprint it currently is either.
There wasn't one page about Sheep Hills in here.
It's in the plan though.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
All right, so moving on to the proposed plan, this slide gives a little overview of our timeline. As I mentioned, we had the first public meeting January. It's actually January 31st, that's a typo. And then the second meeting was October 29th. And we have a link to the preview master plan, which I have a copy of. And I have business cards for you can get the master plan. So the first draft is going to be coming out later this month, and then the plan will be completed in the spring. And the final step will be certification by a coastal commission, which will take place probably in 2026. It takes about a year for them to review it.
Have we talked to the Coastal Commission about it?
Yes. We have ongoing meetings with the Coastal Commission, and so we bring up things like this. And we don't think that there's anything that is in the plan that they would be opposed to, but they really take time to make comments and get into the nitty-gritty. So if they make substantial changes to it, then we'll have to go back to our commission here, as well as to the Board of Supervisors. If they're nominal changes, then we can just finalize it.
Got it.
Sorry. Okay. All right. So this covers North Calvert improvements. We're recommending maintenance yard improvements. That's marked with a blue star at the top of the page. And then also a pedestrian trail connection from the picnic area to the major trail area. That's the red star on the map. We're also recommending enhanced signage and a wayfinding system throughout the park. That would include entry point arrival signs, marking for all the trails, and directional signage. In the South Calvert, we're recommending that all the trails be raised 18 inches to improve the drainage. And a new emergency vehicle access from Balboa Boulevard, and also a staging area on Victoria Street. That's marked with the red star at the top of the page. We're also recommending a future connection to the Randall Preserve and also over to the Banning Channel Bikeway. That's one of the things we checked with the public about in the last meeting, and we had just about 100% thumbs up on the pedestrian connections.
So just to point out, though, the Randall Preserve connection would not open until the Randall Preserve is open to the public. So we wouldn't open to a closed space.
That would be far in the future.
Yeah.
So for next steps, you can see where we are. We just finished the second public workshop. So from here, we'll go on to the first draft master plan, and then we'll have workshop number 3 at the end of January, beginning of February. And then at that time, we will finish the second draft of the master plan and the first draft of the CEQA document and go into 30-day public review. After that process, then we'll have the final draft CEQA document and the final draft master plan. So then for the approval process, we'll take the draft here for your review, and it'll come to the Parks Commission meeting this spring 2025, and then it will go to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and then to the Coastal Commission for review and certification. So we're thinking it'll be finished around the spring of 2026. So the next step is the third public outreach meeting, and we'll hope you'll be able to attend. And we'll give you more information when we have the date set. So that's the end of the presentation. We're able to take questions.
Just a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Ego.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going around trying to hit every park, one thing I realized about Talbert is it doesn't have an updated map yet. I think it's still using an old map.
Mm-hmm.
Is there plans in all this to just unify it with the rest of the parks?
Yeah, it's part of the questions that we asked the public were, and to briefly mention it, was wayfinding. None of the trails in here are named.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing because that's not how we normally do things. So that's why we asked the public, like, hey, how would you feel about us actually changing this and making it more like our other regional facilities? And so we'll be adding names to the trails and things, and we'll do it the way we've done it before. We'll do a public process, and we'll include open it to our Parks Commission for consideration of those names. So that way we follow our naming procedures. But with all of that, then we'll come with an updated map. So we want to do all of the things at the same time, so that way we're not wasting our time. But it's a great question.
Because when I visited there, I got the impression was, is that Talbert Park, or am I breaking into a nature preserve?
Yes. And yes.
Yes.
Depending where you are coming in from. It's a difficult place because it's basically a locals only.
Yeah.
And it's been like that for many, many years, which is why we really wanted to hear from the public. Hey, how are you feeling about this? Are you okay having parking?
Could part of that be because you can't drive there? Or drive to it?
Yeah.
That's part of it. Yeah. So most of the people who come to this park, they park at Fairview. So if they're driving from out of the area. And then they walk down those steps, there's steps that go from Fairview Park down to Talbert North, which is that grassy, can you go back to the grassy space? Right here, yeah, go back. No, not that one. Sorry, go back again. Right there. So this area right here is right below Fairview Park in Costa Mesa, and the city of Costa Mesa owns and operates that park. They would love it if we had parking here because we basically use the parking, our patrons do, to come into our park. If they're not locals, and they're not right there. But again, it's up to the community whether or not they're going to be parking, because that also brings more people in. So it's really a hidden jewel for a small amount of people.
Yeah. And blaming my Tesla navigation again. see, I parked on Balboa Boulevard because that was what was suggested to me as being the entrance of the park.
Yeah.
But really, it's climbing down a hill to visit it.
Uh-huh.
That way.
Yeah. And so if you go back to those entry points. So you came, wait, was it this one?
South.
It's this
south.
One. So you came over on the right side, and if you were anywhere near that star, there will be an entrance there that will be easier for you to get in the future.
Just
if that's where Tesla's going to bring you.
Yeah. And the beauty of that will be a vehicular access for emergency vehicles, so it'll be, you know, relatively normal grade. Not your hike you had last time.
Yeah, it'll be an ADA accessible entrance.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Wish it isn't now.
The North Tower is right along the Santa Ana River Trail, so there's also a lot of traffic from bike riders that stop and weave into the pathways. They'll use the restroom, they use the drinking fountain, so you do get a lot of transitory bike riders riding through that whole system as they're going through as well.
And going back to the map, though, I believe you guys only have a south map and not a north map.
Yes, you're correct. So the map that we have online right now is from 2021. Hence why we're doing the master plan, so we can update everything, but But yeah, once we have everything identified, like Pam was saying, it'll be really nice and clear.
See, sitting during this presentation, I discovered North Talbot.
There you go.
I'll have to go back now.
A couple. The South Talbot improvements, is there any habitat we're impacting?
So, as Shirley mentioned in the beginning, the big thing that the public wanted was to keep it restored, and they care about the habitat preservation, which is good because we are mandated to do that. So, no. When we're raising the trails, part of that will be if we affect any of the habitat, we have to repair it. So anything that unintentionally hurt any of the habitat, we have to restore it back to what it was. So the short answer is no, but temporarily we might a little bit as we're making some improvements, but then we'll go back and we'll fix it.
So it's going to be a mitigated incentive?
Yes, that's correct. Okay. We have it already in process.
Okay. Yep.
And then finally, do we have an idea how much it's going to cost?
We don't know. So we don't know yet, and the reason is that because we've asked the public for some answers and we don't have those answers yet, we don't know how much it will cost. You know, it will be a significant amount of money at the end of the day, just the raising of all of those trails. Correct. So this plan will be in effect for 10 years, and currently we don't have anything in our CIP to make any of these improvements. So once this plan is adopted in 2026, then we can start saying, okay, what do we want to tackle first? And then we can gradually make those improvements or not make those improvements right away. And then later say, okay, we can't afford this right now, and it doesn't make sense right now because we have to go fix this over here. But we still have the ability to do it and apply for grants. Okay. So
it's going to be phased.
Oh yes, absolutely. It won't. Yes. Unfortunately, we accidentally the money tree blew down in the wind yesterday,
right.
So it will be phased.
All right.
Thank you.
Just a quick question. At this January 2025 meeting, would we expect then that that would be a presentation of the draft master plan? We're expecting it's going to be an open house. We'll have the plan online a while ahead of time. They'll also have an email blast, so we'll have a chance to look at it.
Okay.
And then we can have all of the copies available, and we'll be there to take recommendations.
Commissioner, at the present time, there's a preview version available. It's not a complete version, but there's quite a bit of bulk of the document available. As we take and further on the feedback we received at the last week's meeting, we'll package that up and we'll put it out there. And the hope is that meeting will be, as she said, open house and really that sense of the community.
And we've had amazing turnout at our public meetings. The first public meeting had about 100 people, and the second one had less because there happened to be a World Series game going on that night. But we still had a contingency that the diehards that came, and apparently we're not Dodgers or Yankees fans.
And the best way for people to find out when that date is released is just the kind of website, the park's website.
Yeah, it is on the
website. Okay.
Correct.
We have a business card actually.
And then in addition, we also mail out in the surrounding area anytime we've had any public meetings because it's affecting their community more than anybody else of any improvements that we make. And so they are all personally invited. And then of course, you all are invited and you are welcome to invite anybody that you would like.
Thank you.
We have very solid partners with the city as well. Mm-hmm. So as we are promoting with them, their signs on their boards, and the newsletter for cities as well. So it's really trying to target that community-based group.
And they've come to our public meetings. The city of Costa Mesa is also doing a master plan for Fairview Park at the same time. So it's really nice because it's really working together and figuring out, okay, as they're making improvements, how does this all connect? Because the public, as we all know, they don't understand the difference between a city park and a county park or a private park. Right, so for them it's all the same, so making sure that we're attending their meetings, they're attending our meetings, so that we are listening to each other and talking to each other and considering any improvements that they make, how that might affect what we're doing and vice versa. Mm-hmm.
So we'll preserve people actually at the table at our last meeting, right? So they were there to take questions. Too.
As well, yeah.
It doesn't feel regional. The regional feeling for me is a little more grandioso and more happening. I think car access is a big piece. I don't know how it could even be named regional at this point right now. How could 42 cars or 80 people show up on a Saturday? Where would they go? How would they get there? Was there any thought that it's not a regional park right now, or are all the Orange County parks regional?
No.
Yeah, so why does it need to be a regional right now? Could it maybe have that election when it's potentially could have 100 cars show up? So that was one thought. You don't need to answer that right now. I just thought I'd throw that out there. It doesn't seem regional to me.
I think more than a park, it's a preserve. I think if you look at it more that way.
Talbert Preserve?
It's not called that. But
is it called Talbert Regional?
It's not.
Yes.
It's called Talbert
Regional. What's the official name of this park?
Talbert Regional Park. It was switched to a regional park in 2007.
I don't know.
Yeah.
None of us were here.
Doesn't make
Dave,
sense.
Dave, why was it named that?
Because in the square footage.
Can you call Bert real quick?
Yeah. You can.
The reason they did that is because of the size of the project. It's very simple. If you have something that extends over a larger area, then it becomes regional. Whereas geographically, that's the term they use.
Correct.
We have had the comment from the public quite a bit that it should be switched back to a nature preserve.
Mm-hmm. Which maybe be
and maybe that comes out of this homework that you guys are doing. Yeah. So I see that. I just throw that pebble out in the pond. Okay.
I think one of the things that would be very important is it's near Estancia High School. Okay, uh-huh. So I would get input from the school and really get a one-on-one with those folks. And the reason for that is you have boys and girls cross country, and they have that available. You might want to see how that would fit in any of their athletic programs. If it was just conditioning or if they develop that into a regional area to where they can draw on whole large CIF meets, like a cross-country meet, certain things like that. So I'm sure that they would really be interested in using that as a resource for their school. And not only that, usually schools take pretty good care of the facilities that they use. And that would be something that would help with our maintenance and upkeep also.
Good point.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that I think if we go to a nature preserve destination, don't we have to put a conservation easement across the property?
So there is a conservation easement out there now.
For all of it?
Yes, the entire site and CCP, HCP.
Okay. So it's interesting because of Sheep Hills being there, which is a bike park within the facility, it doesn't seem like a typical nature preserve, but because it's been grandfathered in, it's okay.
I mean, John.
You already forgot my name. driver.
Yes, chauffeur, yes.
My opinion, having walked it feels very much like more of an open space, mm-hmm. a more passive than active facility in general, because I don't think there's really any improvements outside of trails. I mean, what's the differentiation between your green marked parks and your orange marked parks? Because the orange parks are the trail parks.
Wilderness parks.
Wilderness, yeah.
Is this not wilderness?
It was till 2007. It was a nature preserve till 2007.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're right, it's a unique park. It kind of fits into its own area. Maybe it was because it's along a major regional trail, the Santa Ana River Trail, which spans 26 miles, which connects the entire region of Orange County. So I'm not, we can look into it, but that could have been maybe some of the reasoning behind it. But yeah, you are correct.
Seeing the South Talbert, that seems to be more wilderness. North Talbert seems to be more regional.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, yeah.
Okay. Isn't the Santa Ana Trail on the other side of the water? At that point?
Yes, that's correct. It's the other side of the river.
It's the other side, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
This side is the channel bikeway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Greenville Banning Channel.
Yeah, Greenville Banning Channel bikeway.
I just remembered that.
Any other questions? Okay, this is a receive and follow. Is there a motion to receive?
That is correct.
motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Thank you.
All right, and as Sheila mentioned, this will be brought back to you again in the future. So it's great that you all were listening and paying attention. There will be a test later.
Okay, our next item B is the OC Park Trail Subcommittee meeting update. And we had a great meeting. It was a very well-spent evening. Yeah. So,
and before we proceed, we do have one request to speak on this item.
Okay. Would you prefer to speak now or after the report?
Actually, if I could go after the report.
Whichever way you want. What do you want to do?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll go after.
Okay, good. It's always better to comment after you. We might actually answer this question if we get lucky. All right, let's hear from the report from the Trails Committee.
All right, Janine Casiello.
Good evening. So the Trails Subcommittee had their fourth and final meeting of the quarter on October 10th, and there were two agenda items, the first being the overview of electric bikes in OC Parks, and that item was received and filed, and the second agenda item was to approve the Trails Subcommittee 2025 meeting schedule, and that also was approved. And that concludes my update. Is there any questions I'm happy with?
Yeah, the meeting was very informative to the public. I thought the presentation was awesome. It's interesting because the city of Stanton just answered the grand jury's request for a report on e-bikes.
Oh, man.
So it was nice to have that. I kept the packet, it worked out great. But everybody's talking about them. I think one of the nice things that came out of it, we gave the actual definition of some of the various velocity or speeds that these things can move. That was very, very helpful. And then also where they are allowed and where they're not allowed, mm-hmm. and the reflection of safety. So it was a great meeting, and everybody walked out friendly. That was it. If you can walk out of an e-bike meeting friendly, that's a good meeting.
That's
pretty good. Very true. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mike Wellborn, President of Friends of Harbor Beaches and Parks again. We made it through the summer. The trails were busy, extremely busy places. And in some places, like San Diego Oaks, 24/7, all night long. So there's still issues regarding uses and time of day and enforcement. On the trails, it's a crucial issue. In fact, last month, a member of the Orange County Bicycle Association, I think he called himself, contacted me about getting into discussions with the city of Huntington Beach about their beach trail and how heavily used it is, especially in the summer, and the consequences of some of the accidents they're dealing with. So it's nice to hear that. He asked if FHBP would be interested in helping talk about issues like that, because of course, we're very concerned. Our Safe Trails Coalition is very interested in, getting safer conditions on our trails. And I'm really happy to hear about the e-bike discussion by the ad hoc from them in the subcommittee, because it's nationwide, but obviously we have a lot of e-bikes in Orange County. And the speeds, the velocities, and the weights can create some tough situations for people. So again, we have needs for more enforcement and more public awareness, and I hope the Trail Subcommittee will continue to pursue that. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on item B? Okay. I'll bring it back to the commission questions. E-bike commission. Okay. At this time then, we're going to receive and file item. Is there someone who'd like a motion to receive? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? That passes. Okay, moving on to item C. This is the election of officers for the calendar year 2025. This will be for the remainder of this year, right? and all of 2025. And we'll have two positions. The first one is chair of the commission, and the second is the vice chair of the commission, which is vacant right now. Does the chairman also automatically be on the conservative of the Orange
County? On the foundation, no.
Okay.
Not automatically.
I just wanted whoever gets it to make sure they're aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so we'll go ahead and take nomination. Should we do the vice chair first?
It's up to you.
I think the vice chair is the best way to go. Is there a nomination for someone that would like to be the vice chair?
The last person left the job.
Okay.
This is going to be very contentious,
it's
I can tell.
I know each of you guys really well. By the way, Haley, congratulations. You're my hero. I told her she wore a pair of shoes, she'd get elected. And I told her she wore two pairs of shoes.
You have 615 doors on the
John has been my parks commissioner, president for about 4 or 5 years. He also is probably like Ray. They really knew what they're doing by knowing all the facts, and they know where everything is on the map, and they know how to Google. The only thing is they don't know how to get to the meeting, so I'm not. I think it's good that we have some young people coming along. So I think. I think John would be a perfect candidate to be VP. I'd like to nominate him.
Second.
Thank you, John. Okay. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Okay. Is there a motion to close nominations?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All right. We can do this probably by a simple hand vote. All in favor of John Warren being the vice chair of the Orange County Parks, please raise your hand.
Can I raise 2 hands?
You're only allowed to vote once, Howie.
Okay. What does this jump entail?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, he wants 6-0. Okay, now we'll move to the chair of the commission. This will be for the remainder of this year and all next year. Is there anybody dying to be the chairman?
May I nominate you?
John?
My second.
Okay, this is my last one, though, I promise. Who said that? Some crazy guy?
I heard that last year.
Okay. I'll do it one more year to teach John everything that I know, and then I'm done, okay? Haley, I know that you're becoming a new councilwoman, and so you'll have a lot on your plate. And Ray, any answers?
Oh, no. They're for you.
Dave?
I think you're wonderful.
This is getting really bad. Okay, are there any other nominations? Okay, I'll go ahead and close the nominations at this time. Is there a motion to do so?
Motion close.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, if you would like to have me as the chairman, please raise your right hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. This is brand new. I think the commission is going to get more stable now, because we have more stability at the county level and also with our city select committee, which is, after the elections, there's a little bit of turmoil. Because right now we do not have a person from District 1, correct?
Correct.
So that election, I think, is over.
That is over.
So we should be able
to. Well, in 2 weeks, it will be certified.
Well, 50,000 votes ahead is pretty certified. So anyway, I think that I'll have staff reach out to the new supervisor, and we will get that filled so that we have there should be at least 7 of us. We'll be in good shape at that point. Okay, moving on. This is a report from Director
Pam.
All right, well, I want to start off with something good, is congratulations all of you. You all have finished your ethics training. Well, no?
No.
My records indicate that you have completed it. At least the county records indicate
maybe
that.
Maybe it's because it hasn't been a full year since I left.
Oh, that could be.
I believe so. Because.
I'll call you, James.
Okay. Maybe all of you have finished their ethics training.
At least I'm honest. I mean, come on.
And that is why we thought you'd already done
it. It's still true.
We all knew the answer. We were just testing you.
No, what you were doing is hoping that if you didn't take it and they said everybody passed, you'd be in great shape.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's on the to-do list.
Well, yeah, I'll follow up with Jim.
Just to make sure. Perfect. Thank you.
Do we have to do a harassment too?
I don't think so. I think only ethics.
Just the one. Mm-hmm.
But I do recommend do not harass each other or us.
You should be in the same car as I am.
I'm going to move on. Park ranger recruitment. So we now have 12 candidates that are currently undergoing the medical and psychological evaluations. And then once that is done, they've already passed many hurdles just to get to this point, including a very thorough background check. And so we'll invite them to a meet and greet, and we believe that we will have, hopefully, all of them starting in December to start their academy. So this is really exciting. A few other things, weather alerts. I think you all noticed the weather lately. We had a lot of wind these past 2 days. We did close some of our parks during that. We work really hard to be proactive whenever there's any weather events, and so we did close some of our parks. We did have some trees that fell down, but overall, not really a lot of damage, so we fared very well. And I would really credit our systems and resources group in parks. We have two arborists that work for us, one that does that full-time and one that does it part-time, including his other job. And we have every single tree that's in our regional parks inventoried. In our wilderness parks, that's a different story, but we know exactly when they've been trimmed, what the health is, any issues, and it's all in our system. And I think that's really helped us to be able to, when these wind events happen, sometimes Mother Nature does what she wants, but we've been very, very lucky.
And isn't it a four-year, we learned this a month ago or something like that, a four-year rotation of trimming or something
it's
like
usually,
that?
It depends. It depends on the tree. So some of them are on a two-year trimming cycle, some of them are 4 years, some of them more or less depending on what's happening. Mm-hmm. And if it's like after an event like this that we've had this week, there will be some trees that will be trimmed because they now need it. Anytime that we have our arborists go out and our maintenance team, what they've been doing now, today and tomorrow and the weekend, is they're assessing all of our facilities and seeing, okay, let's get the arborist out here right now. We need to look at this. This is now showing to be an issue. It's pretty neat. I've never worked anywhere where they had this cool old thing, so I love this. So we did close a few of our facility, but now everything is back open, which is great. And then inside your packet, there's a couple events. Just wanted to make sure that you knew about. And that's it. That's all I have tonight. But thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to continuing working with you, Chair Schauber, and then also Vice Chair Warren. And we will help you get some GPS. So don't worry. It'll be fine.
Could you just make a few comments? Because we had some really good Halloween things.
Oh, my goodness. Halloween.
I think you should let the troops know.
Halloween has been really promoted, and if you missed it, this was the event that we had at Heritage Hill Historical Park. The Orange County Register, they have a section on their website that says photos, and it has fabulous pictures of our event. We do not have to promote this event anymore because everybody knows about it. It is very Instagrammable. It's all for the gram. That's how my daughter puts
it. Not that you know that.
Not that I know. But it's pretty cool, and so that was, we had record attendance at our Halloween events. We also had Boo at the Zoo, which is at the OC Zoo, and that was really cute. So we have all these kids that come and they're dressed in costumes and they get some prizes. And our animals, some of them aren't get dressed up, so our goats dress up and they are super cute. Some of them love it. Some of them try to eat each other's costumes. And then we also have, a lot of our animals will get pumpkins and they will have treats inside the pumpkins. Sometimes for them, the pumpkin is the treat. And so again, very picturesque and just a really fun event. We had the pumpkin patch at the Irvine Park, which is one of our lessees. For the Irvine Railroad. That was very successful again this year. We had Boo at the Bay, which was at Upper Newport Bay. We also had Boo at Santiago Oaks, Boo at the Oaks. And I mean, honestly, we also had some night hikes, and we celebrate. Coming up in December, which isn't on here because we are meeting in December, we will also have the holiday events at Heritage Hill Historical Park, which will be the candlelight procession as well as the holiday lights. We also have a silent night. So for those that really have some auditory restrictions, it really makes it so that they can go. And we work with the Orange County Board of Education for their special education classes so that they know about it and they're able to come. And it's really amazing because a lot of times these kids can't go to these events because it's just too loud, the music and the lights and everything together is too much, but to just go and enjoy the lights only without the music is really, it's calming, and then they can enjoy it just like everyone else. So it's just an exciting time to be in parks.
Are we roasting chestnuts?
I know that, so I know we are trying.
Yes.
We did one year have an issue because apparently the chestnut industry did not have enough chestnuts. The supply chain was, I don't know, Scrooge was there, was in charge of it. But I believe this year, we've ordered them. But whether or not they come, I can't control that, but we'll have something. We tried to have the chestnuts, so they're not exactly the most delicious things in the world, but they're very nostalgic.
If you promote that in the district or city that you represent, they get a lot of interest, as we said. Mm-hmm. But it's a really wonderful family evening. Kids of all ages are running through there. Music, the lights. We had Santa, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Santa will be there. Yeah. And I think probably the best part, though, is that all the volunteers that work there are all pretty awesome. Also.
We have incredible volunteers.
Yeah, people.
We do.
So don't miss it. Our next meeting is going to be on December the 5th. So, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thursday, here, 6 p.m.
We'll start with John. Any comments?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Haley?
No, thanks.
John?
I just want to say good work to you guys out there dealing with not only the wildfires, but now serious wind events. I mean, Mother Nature has just been awful. Knocking on your door. So good job,
Doug.
Thank you.
Dave? A happy Thanksgiving to everybody coming up. Yep. Enjoy. And Ray?
None, thank you.
Do you have any comments?
Yeah. Dave Simmons, I hope you and your families have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We were really lucky this year because we bought our turkeys early, so we got about 6,000. So we're going to be able to distribute those like we always do. And if you know anybody that needs a meal, we feed people at Harry's Cafe, Cattell and Dale, our 36th year. You get everything, including cranberries, mashed potatoes, turkey, stuffing, and soda. So you're welcome. All right, that being said, I adjourn.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Somebody call me an Uber.